Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for listening to Real Talk, Real Politics. I'm your host, Harvey Smith. Please stay tuned.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that you make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance, I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver. With every paper I deliver, let him come to your step. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widow cry. Something touched me deep in my day. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, saying this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? Do you have faith in God? If the Bible tells us so, do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance? Be it slow. Well, I know that you're in love with him, cause I saw you dancing in the gym. You both kicked off your shoes. And I dig the rhythm and blues.
This is Marty Smith. We've already opened the show for Real Talk, Real Politics. Today is Friday. Hillary Clinton is the presumed nominee, first female. I think she'll pick Elizabeth Warren as her vice president. As the running mate. It makes all the sense. Shouldn't we get to the point? Where we kind of realize the more people who have a cogent message against the rhetoric and the inexperience of Donald Trump, would produce a greater candidacy of success for Hillary and her presumptive running mate. The meeting with President Clinton and Bernie Sanders was about the scripting that you're seeing play out. The Huffington Post cited that Bernie Sanders' speech yesterday after his meeting with the White House was detached or divorced from reality. Why are you vowing to fight on to the convention when you've acknowledged that you've lost? It doesn't make any sense. And what role will he play in the Clinton campaign and/or administration? It's about scripting at this point. In other words, just like a Hollywood film, you read from a script. things are going to go the way they go, right? End of the day, how does Donald Trump play into the script? It's all scripted, in my opinion. Is he so asinine as to just flout and blur out all kind of idiotic racist statements and prejudicial statements, doesn't have the temperament or character to be in the Oval Office? I've said that months ago, and no need to rehash that, and everybody can find offense in his current comments and his current status about the comments. And even after the president endorsed Hillary Clinton, he couldn't stay away from the Twitter send button. Point now where I think the overwhelming majority of insiders and outsiders and voters and delegates and superdelegates are suggesting that we move to substance, and the rhetoric needs to be certainly toned down, if not abandoned altogether, because that will be the rhetoric that will cause more harm to your candidacy. And if you did win, what would that do? Because you'll have that in your history. I don't know if the country can move forward with greater division. And since everybody's saying that both candidates have some flaws, I think everybody's saying that, even leading Democrats and Republicans being quite honest and frank about the flaws. But then you find them just go back into their corner and say, but we can't let Hillary Clinton win, or we can't let Donald Trump win. And both sides know that one of them will win. The only question is, how will they win? Will this be straight ahead voting, and or will this be electioneering, in which both sides engage in pushing people away from the ballot through various means? The American pie has been chopped up in so many ways. I find it odd that you have one guy talking about making America great again and meeting with faith community today, when it's nothing but the devilment coming out of his mouth. I also find it equally odd, but in a pleasant way, that immediately after Hillary Clinton attacked Donald Trump last week, that she went right into a whole new zone of speech giving and speech making, and as if she knows she's going to be the commander in chief. So she is way ahead of Trump in acting presidential. I am ultimately concerned that the damage to the process of electing people and turning people away and calling elections prior to the vote has done so much significant damage that people are just going to not pay attention, not vote. Apathy will increase, and it will affect a broad range of issues in which presence and presence of mind is needed to stand up against whatever the negatives versus the positives are, whether it's police brutality, Black Lives Matter. Environmental issues, whether it's the water we drink or the effects of the gas and petroleum we use, natural gas and petroleum that we use. It's all conglomeratization on one level. the political system, as well as those things you're fighting for and with and against. The Elizabeth Warren thing would be a step up for Hillary Clinton, because Elizabeth Warren is so boisterous and so known to be an environmental advocate. And then stand up for the people advocate. So at the end of the day, and she's very critical of the U.S. banking system and the economics that play into the shrinking of the middle class, depletion of our resources within our economy. And the resources are not just things from the ground. When you have a considerable amount of talented people deciding they are not going to apply for a job, they're not going to look, they're going to disconcern themselves with it. You have a considerable amount of good thinking minds and interested people opting out of the election process. This is dooming democracy. And it is doing nothing more than putting it into the hands of the few that, or the remnants that are left. That's another way of looking at it. And it all affects the protest psychology, something GRX and I have developed over all our shows, that a protest psychology is so prevalent across America these days that everybody's whining and crying on either side of the issue, which does nothing but create conflict. That's the way of looking at it. I woke up this morning to a slow earthquake. It was about, and it was long. It was about 10 seconds. You know, I'm used to the jolts and the, and then waiting for the big move, but it was just an ongoing tremor that lasted for 10 seconds, which is, I don't feel those. We don't feel those too often here in California. So I had that on my mind, which affected my ability to go back to sleep, because with every earthquake, for some reason, I just wake up right before it hits. I mean, every one of these, unless I'm really sauced out when I go to bed. I wake up a few seconds before and there's an earthquake in my brain and I still felt it. And I knew we was in an earthquake. I was laying in the bed and I just knew that. I'm bringing that up to say that there's a national earthquake going on within your politics and within the push-pull advertising of politics, picking and choosing of sides. A lot of folk got egg on their face. The media has egg on their face. In both parties, the establishment has egg on their face. The lesser parties, green, libertarian, this, that, and the other, independent, they all have egg on their face, because despite whatever they do, they can still not get the main party to acknowledge that there is an other here in America. This is one of the problems with American politics. It's not just red or blue, Democrat or Republican. There is a considerable amount of other in various categories and labels. And we just got to the point where everything's going to have a label, a hashtag, and you're just missing all of the forest for the hashtag tree. You know, you get to a point, folks, where you really have to say in your mind, am I going insane? You know, just trying to understand the political nature of things. Am I going crazy? Did I really hear this guy say what I thought he said? Did he really just do that? Did she say that? You know, somebody's not going to win the right way here. And I kind of feel like we're coming down for this whole political season somewhere around November. November, after everything was said that done, that a lot of people are going to be disappointed, pissed off, angry. It's just this is, and they're doing nothing now to prevent it. They're just kind of like letting it go now, huh? Oh well, running my mouth.
My name is Joe Calhoun. My accomplice is all fresh from left to right. They know us. I took up for the Denny's Women's Tennis Group. I took up for the Cymbal Dancers. And a percussionist for a group called Black and Blue. The brother to my immediate left is Charlie Saunders of the Cymbal Dance Group and performer drummer for Loretta Porter. David Barnes, singer for Black and Blue, will be here later on in the evening. We'd like to inform you that the revolution will not be televised, primarily because it won't be.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on the tag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Full Fox without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a few books and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Wendell Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem Sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Shape of a War Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen, Paul Bullwinkle, and Jr. The revolution will not give you a mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nerve. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopper cart down the block on the dead run or trying to stop that.
Again, our good friend Gil Scott-Heron, rest in peace, the revolution will not be televised. At the current hour, which is 11:50 a.m. California Pacific time, in Kentucky, they are having memorial and funeral for Muhammad Ali. It is an hour off, and I thought that at the point that I'd be able to bring you some of that, but it is an hour off because of, you know, if anybody can be late to their funeral, Ali certainly can, I hope, and he has pushed back the schedule hour. What I'll probably do is take some of that and try to get into that in other shows. Maybe tomorrow, Real Talk, Real Game. Also, let me say that I spoke to GRX. He was not able to do his show, GRX, live yesterday because he was in vigil, prayer memoriam, for the loss of his cousin, Anthony, who died of failure. So he's been dealing with that, and he informed me of that actually Tuesday after Real Talk Real Entertainment. I talked to him, and then about an hour ago I talked to him, and I was told that on Tuesday we were just being informed that he was dying. Today I was informed that he is. And I know him. I ran with him too. We all hang out. No, I know all of, or most of GRX family, particularly the ones in my age. And we had just noted that so many folks that for my family, particularly his, in his age range, have died. And I added that, you know, it's just funny because I was in a conversation with someone I didn't know yesterday in the supermarket, Muhammad Ali, and how it's being replayed and he's being remade in the media. And she's a little older, and she's like, oh, yeah, I remember them days. Not everybody was on his message. And it did fracture a lot of our African-American community. And then she just talked about so many of our entertainers and people are dying. And then it became a conversation just briefly about just dying in general, death, within the African-American community. And I just said, well, you know, there are quite a few folks that are spiritually dead, however, they are walking around every day. And that kind of came up with GRA. Like, well, you know, my friend, battling a serious disease for over a decade now, and you've done rather well when we look at you in comparison to other folks, and I can do the same for me, other folks and friends and family that we've lost. And it just came down to, but you also know that it's not so much the physical, I was telling you. A lot of our folks are still above ground, living and breathing, but they're spiritually dead. They're non-substantive, spiritually dead, and the light is dimming as we speak. And he was like, wow, so true. Country dying. I know it's changing, but there's this, it's like a death in order. We're not just changing for change sake. The effect of many of our changes has been like cutting your own throat or your own wrist. So in that regard, is the country dying? You're not being given great choices. You're being given lesser choices. I agree with Bernie Sanders. What would possess any party, particularly a main one in the United States, to put up a candidate such as Donald Trump? I listened to all kind of pundits this week, today and today. They all seem to be saying that this is a wake-up call for everyone, not just Republicans and Democrats. Something to think about. And as the presidential side of the election becomes more and more obviously scripted, meaning, president will be chosen prior to the election day, and all events that happen after that point are a script. Just give this speech A, B, C, D, speech number 759, speech number 33, you know, it's a script. Chambers filled and locked into a loaded position by which an expected outcome will be communicated and sold and convinced to you. It's a script. Things aren't coincidental. They're scripted.
What would Putin do? The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still replay of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green be so goddamn relevant. And women will not care if they finally smooth Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a better day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Osborne's liberation and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a tub in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better than Coke. The revolution will not plant germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brother. The revolution will be live.
Thank you.